Welcome in to ESP Media High School Basketball Podcast. I'm Richard Skinner from Local 12, local12.com with Tony Pike, who's more of a quarterback, but did play some basketball allegedly at Reading High School. Apparently found out this week he used to dominate molar players up at Hilltop.
Crushed him.
So I knew you had a small basketball background. Yeah, Josh Duncan. Well, he was a nobody. He didn't do anything with
Andrew
his career.
Brackman.
He didn't do anything. He was a better baseball player than he was a basketball player. So we're going to look at high school basketball tournament action, which is underway in Ohio, Kentucky, and we'll touch on Indiana, which does get underway this week. But Ohio underway with sectional tournament play. It leads into, and you're going to get confused. If you live in Ohio, you get confused by how Kentucky does it. If you live in Kentucky, you get confused by how Ohio does it. And if you live in Kentucky and Ohio, you get confused by how Indiana does it. So we'll try to walk you through some of this if you're a newbie to it and you're wondering, wait a minute, that's not the level we're in. Ohio begins with sectional tournament play, and it began last week, and we're just going to kind of dissect section by section. We'll start in Dayton 3, the sectional tournament there, where really you're getting now into the place where you're starting to get the seeded teams, the higher seeded teams play. Little Miami with a mild upset over Kings in the first round will play Lakota East. Lakota East, the number 2 overall seed. And what they do is they seed the teams 1 through 32, or actually 1 through 31, excuse me, in Division 1. It depends on how many teams are in each district. But for the sectional, they seed them 1 through 31. And that what happens is the higher seeds try to avoid the higher seeds until you get the district and regional play. So Lakota East, which played Molar very tough in the regular season, I broadcast that game. They're the number 2 seed. They will play Little Miami on Tuesday at Hamilton High School. You look at their district, the other side has St. Xavier, the 13 seed, and number 5 seeded Princeton, which beat Anderson in a first-round game. CNX had a bye. You would expect it to probably be Princeton and Lakota East. It's a Greater Miami Conference battle. It should be a really good one for a sectional championship. And not all sectional championship games as we go through this are going to be very good.
Right. And I think what's interesting and what I learned through my process of high school now watching high school basketball and following it is that it really is a science when you go and you do these seedings and figure out, okay, if I'm the one.
Where do I want to go?
Yeah, who's going to be the 4? Who's going to be, you know, who am I going
to
see?
And for a lot of these teams, they also look out to the regional times.
Right.
How do I avoid them in district and maybe not even play them in the semis of the regional? The worst I could do is maybe face them in a regional final. I'll wait and take my chance when it matters most.
Right, and then you'll see teams that want to buy. You'll see teams that don't want to buy.
Molar didn't want to buy.
Right, which I agree with. I'm fully on board with, hey, I want to get in and play and I want to get my feet wet, because odds are if you're a 5 seed and you look at the Princeton-Anderson game, Princeton wins that 52-31.
And people are going, well, why wouldn't you take the bye? Well, maybe they wanted a game under their belt.
That's a game for Princeton to say, okay, we've played one in the tournament already. We've got our feet wet. Because a lot of times, and speaking from experience, and I've watched my brother do this and I've watched friends do this, I don't care what your seeding is, when you get into the tournament, when you get into the postseason, there's a different level of pressure.
No question.
There's a different level of nervousness going into that game. So to go in against a team that you know you have a really good chance of beating.
Yeah, even if you don't have your A game because of nerves or whatever, or they play a tactic of maybe stall ball or slow down that makes you have to do some different things, you think you go into that game knowing, hey, we're the better team, we're going to win, but it gives us a chance to get in that setting, get in that gym, get the nerves out of our way, see a different style of play that we may have to see down the road. Some teams don't like to do that, but I think most of the higher seeded teams usually try to do something along those lines.
And you look at a team that plans on going far in the state tournament, a Molar, or you look at the 2 seed Lakota East.
Right.
Maybe in that division, they're looking ahead now. The brackets are filled out. You know who you would play where in all likelihood. Maybe you have new wrinkles you want to put in.
Correct.
Maybe Princeton against Anderson wanted to work in a wrinkle that if they see Lakota West on Friday, March 1st, then they're going to have a little bit something different
Lakota
than
East,
they showed. That they showed in the regular season. That's why I like playing that first game, get an easy win under your belt, and then work on some stuff. Get some guys into the game that, who knows, maybe a guy picks up 2 or 3 fouls early. Maybe you got to play someone that doesn't get much time. I'm all in for experience. I'm in for gaining that understanding of, okay, this is now playoff basketball. It's no different than March Madness basketball.
Correct.
In the NCAA tournament. That's why you see 12-5 upsets. That's why you see a 2-15 upset, because teams get in there and they play a little tight and they play a little different. This is a great way for high school sports and high school teams to get in there, get their feet wet. Now you look at, like you talked about, Princeton, St. X, 10-11 had a bye in the first round. Princeton did not at 14-6.
And some of those people are wondering, well, why did X take the bye? Sometimes you don't have a choice.
Right.
Somebody has to eventually.
Yeah,
you basically, when it comes to your choice, you've got to put yourself up on the board, and that's what X more than likely had
And if
to
you
do.
Look at these teams, Little Miami, St. Xavier, Princeton, that's all saying, okay, where can I go to be away from Mueller?
Well, and the other part, too, is that you're also strategically looking in the district. And when I call these districts, they're technically Dayton districts because all the sectional champions will go to Dayton on March the 9th mm-hmm. on a Saturday and play four district championship games, then to go on to the regional tournament. So in the one we're talking about where it'll be East on the top side of a sectional final against either X or Princeton, on the bottom side, the winner of that eventual sectional title will play probably Huber Heights Wayne. They're the five seed on the bottom, and that's where, again, you're trying to be strategic in who are you going to play in Dayton? And then you're looking, like I said, how do you avoid Mo? I mean, everybody right now, their main goal for all 30 teams not named Moeller and all the teams in Dayton
right.
is to avoid Mueller at all
yep.
costs
as far as I can get.
Absolutely have to play them
correct.
Because they are that much of a behemoth. Speaking of the Crusaders, they are in Dayton District 1 in their sectional. They advanced. They actually did play a game. We broadcast it here on ESP Media on Friday night at Fairfield where they beat Middletown 60-32. And it was interesting. Mueller got the first bucket of the game, 2-0. Middletown came across midcourt. Mueller was playing kind of a pack line man-to-man. And Middletown decided to hold it for a couple of minutes.
Right.
And Mueller kind of let him do it for a couple of minutes and then decided, okay, now we're going to trap you, speed you up. It got to 23-2 at one point. It was 23-6 at halftime. Mueller cruised to an easy 60-32 victory. And the funny part is they advanced through the first round game,
yes.
which Middletown was, they were 8-14 to play 1-21 Talawanda, which was the last one on the board. So guess where they had to go is seed number 31.
Hey, you got that bye, though.
You got the bye.
We got the bye.
I mean, here's the thing for Talawanda, and I'm not poking fun. It's tough to go through a season like that.
Yeah.
Kids probably are still battling. Coaches probably still trying to put together game plan, all of those things. The worst thing you can say is we made the sectional semifinals in 2019.
Yeah, and lost to a really good Mueller team.
Lost to the eventual state champs.
Yeah. If you're Talawanda, I'm sorry if you're listening, you're not going to advance to that next weekend.
No, you're not.
To that next week.
Yeah.
It's going to end on Tuesday. Mueller, look, we did the Mueller stag last week,
yes.
and we got to spend some time with Coach Kramer.
Yep.
And hearing how he's approached this season and what Mueller's done, not just this year and last year, but the program that's been built at Mueller year in and year out. You lose a guy like Jackson Hayes, who's going to be a lottery pick, and you come back and arguably,
Michael Davenport.
Right.
I mean, two really good guys.
Right.
A lottery pick and a guy who is going to prep school and is going to probably
correct.
Be a mid-major to high-major basketball player next year.
Right. And now you've done it this year and arguably been even better. And,
yeah.
you got a guy in Miles McBride who we talked about that literally at probably any team in the state could average 25 points if he wanted to. But he plays first team offense and defense.
Well, he was player of the year overall
right.
and defensive player of the year.
Right.
He was both in the GCL side.
Right, which says a ton about Miles McBride, but a lot about that Mueller program of guys go in there and they buy in.
First half the other night, again, they only scored 23 points. Some of it's because Middletown slowed the game down, and rightfully so. I get it. I understand it. It was,
right.
like I said, it was 2-0 midway through the first quarter and 8-2 at the end of the quarter. Miles McBride in a half in which Mueller led 23-6, had 11 points, was 4-6 from the field, had 4 steals, a block shot, 2 rebounds, and an assist.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's
just
pretty good.
Knows when he needs to assert himself.
Yes, no question about
knows
it.
Knows when he needs to jump up. But for a team like Mueller, when you win a state championship, speaking from experience, of course.
Yeah,
Skinner.
Give me the year again. The year was what?
2003.
2003. And
yeah.
you were what grade were you at the
junior.
Time? Junior. Junior point guard, Tony Pike?
Shooting guard. We came back the next year and beat North Cal Chill with O.J. Mayo and Bill Walker.
How about that?
Senior year.
It's pretty good.
End up losing the Elite Eight. But speaking to Coach Kramer the other night, when you win
you had the letdown after that game, is what you're telling me then.
Letdown. Won a letdown. We 43 free throws to like 12 we shot.
Oh, so now it's a referee.
Up north, Versailles.
Gotcha.
You know how that stuff goes.
Yep, I do. Yep, on the road.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough.
But no, speaking.
Playing 8-on-5.
It was probably 8-on-4.
Yeah, okay.
I was out of it.
Because you were out of it.
Yeah. But no, the target that's on your back, obviously you're going to have a target when you're Mueller.
Correct.
When you come off a state championship, that target gets even bigger.
Yep.
And you can't have off nights. And we've talked to, and we've seen enough of this Mueller team. They don't have off nights.
They
may have an off quarter.
They don't. I mean, people can argue maybe the East game they did. They played that up at Middletown on a neutral floor in a kind of a classic type of thing
yep.
where different games are being played. But I'm going to go more credit to Lakota East because I think they're really good. And they have some matchup issues for Mueller and played them very well. It's why they're the 2 seed overall, for goodness
right.
sake. So, it's funny. I think we did it at broadcast, and I think I did 12, maybe 13
We did
games.
The LaSalle game, and
yeah.
I think LaSalle was tied or leading after the first quarter.
They led into the second quarter
right.
at one
but
point, and then it went on a crazy run.
Right.
But I didn't think that was a letdown. I thought that was more LaSalle did a good job
right.
for a quarter and a half executing
possessed
game plan.
The ball,
and possessed
made
the
some
ball,
tough shots.
And then Mueller hit you with the run. That's what makes them so tough. They have so many different weapons. In their sectional, the other part of the bracket, again, they played a 19 seed. They're going to play the 31 seed in Talawanda. This to tell you, everybody tries to avoid them as much as possible, because then it got to the other side of the bracket was a 20 seed, a 21 seed, and a 22 seed. The 22 seed, West High, with a 62-35 win over Western Brown. They'll move on to play Coleraine in the second game on Tuesday at Fairfield. Moeller plays the first game against Talawanda. The winners of that will meet on Friday at Fairfield for the sectional championship. In all likelihood, that will be – there's not a lot of guarantees in life. I will guarantee that will be a Moeller sectional championship.
Yeah, pretty and, safe. And looking through this, is there – do you see anyone that can put up a count? I mean, other than – maybe Lakota East, because they
– yeah, I mean, if you look up in Dayton, I mean, Springfield might be the best team there, and they manhandled Springfield when they played them. Just manhandled.
And much like in football, when you play a team and you understand that brings a whole different level of concentration the next game for both teams. Maybe Moeller goes into that Lakota East game and says, okay, we know what they gave us last time. We better lock in. Or Lakota East goes in and says, hey, we played with these guys. We can compete. I think that would be, you know, the game to circle if you're – a Moeller and Lakota East fan, obviously, but I'm with you. I don't see much competition for the Crusaders.
I don't either. Let's go to Division I Dayton sectional, or Dayton District 4, where Oak Hills took a bye. They will play you're talking about a heck of a sectional semifinal game. They will play Elder on Thursday night at Hamilton High School. 6 o'clock is the tip time. Elder with a first-round 47-40 win over Edgewood. The other part of that sectional, this is a really good sectional.
Yeah.
Hamilton is the 6th seed. They got a bye. They'll play Sycamore. Sycamore with a mild upset over Walnut Hills. Sycamore, the 16 seed. Walnut Hills, the 11. Beat them 53-47. So the two semifinals in that sectional are really good. Oak Hills and Elder, Hamilton and Sycamore. That Oak Hills Elder game should be just outstanding.
That's a West Side.
First one to 30?
Yeah, first one to 30, and that's a West Side big pride game. First team to Price Hill Chili afterwards.
Exactly right. All those things.
That's a typical Elder Oak Hills.
It's a rock GCA. Fight. It really is. It is first 1-30 is going to win the game, and somebody might wind up with 38 points. But whoever gets the 30 first, I'm going to declare them. I may just stop the fight. It's like stop the fight. You get the 30, we stop it. We declare you the winner.
With you.
All right.
I agree.
If it gets to 30, for goodness' sake.
We rarely agree, but I agree.
All right. Lastly, in Division I, Dayton 2 is the sectional. They're actually the bottom part of the bracket is this sectional. LaSalle took a bye. They will play Milford. LaSalle is the 6th seed overall. Milford with a win over Harrison 55-37 in a first-round game. The other part of that bracket, Mason got a bye. They will play Withrow, which, again, mild upset, beat Northwest. They were the 27th seed, beat Northwest 41-39. You think it's got to be a Mason-LaSalle matchup for sure in that sectional championship game. And LaSalle's been an interesting team. They've had some really good wins. They've gotten slapped around a couple times where you didn't expect it, but that again, that's a sectional final that should be a really good one.
Yeah, any time you're a team that comes out and the competition that LaSalle plays during the year, when you get to see Moeller and you get to be battle tested, I think that helps you for tournament play, because not every game, as much as you want to say, not every game in high school you have the same focus. There's stuff going on in class or stuff going on outside of school. You're in the playoffs, you're going to have your full focus. That LaSalle team that you and I did the broadcast, I was impressed with. They possessed the ball.
Right.
They battled on defense.
They just got hit with a big run and just didn't have – they don't have a lot of offensive firepower.
Right. Not a team – you can't fall down 12 points or 14 points. But and they competed for a quarter and a half against Moeller. I like LaSalle in that. Obviously, a LaSalle-Mason game is going to be on the horizon.
Should be a really good one. Let's go to Division II. This is Dayton Sectional 1. The semifinals will be played on Thursday night, the 28th. This is a pretty good upper bracket, lower bracket semifinal matchup too. Wyoming, the 3 seed against the 8 seed Roger Bacon, and in the bottom, the 5 seed McNick taking on the 4 seed Aiken. Aiken dispatched of Wilmington pretty easily by 26. McNick beat Woodward by 24. In the upper part, Bacon advanced by beating Schroeder, and Wyoming advanced with a 17-point win over the 10 seed Summit. So you have the 3 versus the 8 and the 4 versus the 5. Those are pretty good, and I'll tell you, Aiken's a good team. We're going to talk Kentucky in a little bit. For those that don't know, I coach over at Beechwood High School, and we played Aiken in the finals of a tournament down in Somerset, and they beat us by 4, 63-59. I think they're a pretty nice team.
Wow. Beating up on the Wood. Look, how about the year of sports that Wyoming High School's had?
I know it.
A state football championship. They're sitting 17-1. And for everything that Evan Prater is in football, Have you seen any of his highlights in basketball?
I've actually seen him play basketball. I saw him, I believe, his freshman year actually playing when his brother was a really good player.
Yeah, I see social media. I see different stuff
on
the news.
Joey Edmonds, who's a good football player, is also a very good basketball player.
But Prater makes some plays at the rim.
Well, because he's, I mean, 6'5".
Right.
He's 6'5".
But super
athletic.
He's unlike
you. You were a 6'6 wing.
Well, yeah, I was a 6'6 shooter. He's a 6'5", 6'6 athlete.
Athlete, yeah. There's a big difference.
He's a really good player. He's the type of player that can take over a game or that can change a game really quick. I think Wyoming moves on against that. And that Wyoming-Aiken matchup, to me, I mean, after what they did to you guys at the Wood.
Beat us by four. It's a good game. I was very impressed with them in that game.
They even came to Somerset.
They did.
Wow.
They did. They have really good guards. They spread you out. They got just enough size, and they're hard to guard man-to-man. And I'll tell you, I've never seen a team shoot it deeper than that team. They will pull from 27 feet. Mm. And to their credit, it's almost like, hey, if you don't want to guard us out here, we'll shoot it. And if you do come guard us, we're going to go around you. And it makes a very tough team to defend, for sure. In Dayton District 2, in the sectional portion of it, the bottom bracket has Oakwood, which took the bye against Baden, the 4-seed Baden. Oakwood, the 9-seed Baden, with a first-round win over Ponitz, 54-33. And in the bottom bracket, Clinton Massey, the 5-seed, will take on Thurgood Marshall, the 2-seed. Those semifinals at Kettering Fairmont on Tuesday night. Quickly on to Dayton, Dayton District 3 in Division 2. And how about the bottom bracket? How about the potential sectional championship game coming up here? Hughes and Taft, that feels like on a collision course. Taft, the 1-seed overall, very good team, easily beat Batavia in the first round. They will play New Richmond, which is the 7-seed, beat Goshen by 10. And the other semifinal, Indian Hill, which is a very good team as well, beat Taylor, kind of an odd matchup there of Cincinnati Hills League rivals, 59-30. And Hughes beat Norwood 72-18. Hughes the 1-seed, Taft the 2-seed. They feels like they're on an absolute collision course. I mean, those are arguably two of the best Division II teams in the entire state.
Yeah, I think Taft gets by New Richmond. This is one of those things of seeding and where you fall in the bracket. These are two teams that probably shouldn't play each other till later.
Correct.
Now you're going to play each other, and if you get through that game, if you're still standing, because it's going to be an absolute war. If you get through that game, you got to feel really good about going forward. I don't know much other than a CHL team in Indian Hill. Do they pose any threat to Hughes, do you think?
I think that they can control some tempo and do something. I think Hughes is really good. I saw them earlier the year. Moeller beat them pretty easily, but they've got a great freshman, Paul McMillan. They're really, really good. Taft's really, really good, too. Yeah. That is a weird sectional championship game matchup, because both those teams are arguably two teams that have a chance to make a run all the way to the state championship.
Right.
The last one, and it's not very many local schools involved, but one that we have to touch on. This is in Division III, so let's move to that. That was all Division II. In Division III, Dayton Sectional 1, in the bottom portion of it, your Reading Blue Devils, the 3-seed, will play Country Day, the 12-seed. Country Day with a mild upset because they were the 12. They beat Claremont Northeastern 67-44. Sometimes seedings can be a little deceiving, but Northeastern was the 11-seed. Bottom part of that bracket has two teams that did not play first-round games. Georgetown, the 5-seed, and our friend Shannon Miners, North College Hill Trojans, the 7-seed. North College Hill's squirrely. Shannon's guys are going to battle. Reading, though, the 3-seed, based on seeding, the favorite to get out of that sectional.
Yep.
Can they do it, Tone?
Yes, they can. Coach Stidham at Reading has done a great job. They have a group that, and the biggest thing about Reading, they just play hard. They'll get up in your face.
Blue collar.
Huge win against Deer Park a couple weeks ago,
yes,
coming off the defending state champs. For my money, I can't bet against the Blue Devils.
I'm taking them
all the way.
Take them all the way to state?
Yeah, I'm going to take them all the way to at least
where they play Purcell Marion?
At least UD Arena there on March 10th.
All right.
What a birthday gift that would be.
At least where they play Purcell Marion is what you're telling me.
How about the CHL just being so well represented still?
Yep. We'll see how long they're represented still is the key word. In Dayton 4, the district there, Purcell Marion, the 1-seed, they did play like Moeller did. They opted to play a first-round game against Riverview East. Easily beat them 83-27.
Next
for them,
Moeller.
They say almost the same scenario. They play the 19-seed Riverview East. Next, they will play the 20-seed East Clinton. And then the sectional championship game would be either the 16-seed Finneytown or the 14-seed Blanchester. Purcell Marion is, I've seen them twice against Deer Park, and they beat them pretty handily up in Middletown. And then against Moeller, which Moeller just was the better team. I really thought Purcell would play them better. I thought they had style of play to match up. I thought they had enough athletes to match up, ball handlers to match up. Didn't play very well that night.
And I think that's one of those times, too, as a D3 school where you might get a little too excited.
Yeah, maybe.
Or a little too hyped up, and you go, oh, we're going against Moeller. we got a chance, and you kind of get put in your place, but obviously makes the team better for the long run.
I think they have a good chance to win Division III state.
I think Purcell's going to be really tough to beat.
I think they're really good. The other part of that bracket, just one local team of note, Middletown Madison, the 3 seed, will take on West Milton, Milton Union, the 18 seed in the semifinal game. The winners of that will play Arcanum and New Paris National Trail. In Division III, Dayton Sectional, or Dayton District 2, Deer Park did take a bye. They're the 4 seed. They'll take on Fayetteville Perry, the 15 seed. Perry with a win over the 13 seed Williamsburg, 45-25. The bottom part of that bracket has the 8 seed Seven Hills and the 18 seed Bethel Tate. This is a Deer Park team that has suffered an injury. It's a team that's not quite the caliber, obviously, of last year's state championship team, but they should cruise through this district and so or through this sectional. Then all of a sudden you look up, and in the district they're probably going to play the 8 seed Waynesville. At least they'd be the favorite. Troy Christian's the 9 seed. There's also, well, Stivers is in there too as the 2 seed, so they'd probably face them. But you would think you get a couple of tournament wins under your belt with guys who've gone through this, a staff that's gone through it. They're still going to be a dangerous out. They're still going to be a dangerous out. Purcell Marion's still the best team to me in Division 3 by far in this area. But Deer Park, even though they're only the 4 seed, they're going to be a tough out.
They've went through some injuries, and what they've lost this year, from what I think, is just that go-to guy. When things start getting a little crazy or a little out of control in a game, hey, go get a bucket. They don't have that right now. But their style of play, fast-paced, force you into some turnovers, get some easy buckets. When you get into this part of the season, February, March, basketball, with a team that's done it before, like you said, has the experience of winning a state championship last year, all it takes is one or two wins and you get that ball rolling again.
No doubt.
And we've seen before what momentum can do in a tournament. I wouldn't count Deer Park out yet.
In Division 3, staying there, Dayton District 3, it's Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy, the number 2 seed, and they've had a great season. They'll take on the 9. This is really an interesting pod because you have the 2 seed CHCA, which took a bye. They'll play the 9 seed Marymount. Marymount with a win over St. Bernard, winning 58-52, the 9 over the 17. And then the other portion of it, the bottom portion semifinal, has the 6 seed in Madeira and the 8 seed Clark. So you have the 2, 6, 8, and 9 in semifinal matchup. CHC, to me, is still the prohibitive favorite out of that pod to advance to district play. But it's not like, you know, we were talking about looking at Moeller and Purcell where, hey, the best team was probably the team you played in the first game, the 19 seed. Here, CHC is going to have to dispatch a 9 seed and then or a 6 and 8. That's pretty tough to do.
Right. Well, it says that teams feel a lot more confident about CHCA and can go in there. And if you're going to pose an upset and you're going to advance in the Ohio High School State basketball tournament, then you're going to have to beat a good team eventually. Why not try to go knock off the 2 CHCA and see if you can pull an upset?
All right, let's touch on District 4. There's not a lot of area teams that are District 4 teams, but there are a handful of them. We start in Dayton District 3. This is in Division 4. Felicity Franklin, the 6 seed, will take on New Miami, the 4 seed. How about that for a semifinal? A 4 versus a 6. The 4 in New Miami dispatched of the 2, Ripley, 75-66. So pretty good matchup. Then the bottom part has a 3 seed in Gamble Montessori, which beat Cincinnati College Prep, the 11 seed, 72-38. They'll take on Middletown Christian. So you got the 3 versus the 7 and the 4 versus the 6 to advance to the championship game on Saturday at Taylor High School. So 4 pretty good small school teams in that pod. In Dayton 1 in the district, you have Lachlan, the 8 seed, which did not play a first-round game, and the same for Miami Valley Christian, which is the 5. So you got the 5 versus the 8.
Double buys.
The other one, you do have Cincinnati Christian, rather, the 1 seed taking on Hillcrest. I would say Cincinnati Christian is the prohibitive favorite to advance out of that one for sure. And lastly, in Division 4, this is a Dayton 2 district play. We go very, very much to the bottom. There was one local team I thought. No, there's not. Actually, those are all Dayton area teams. So, as I mentioned, Division 4, we don't have a lot of them. So, certainly by the end of this week, we will have sectional winners. And when we come back next Monday to talk Ohio high school basketball, we'll be down to district championship games. So, we'll have a lot more grasp on these matchups. But some pretty good matchups still ahead in sectional play. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look to Kentucky, where they're in regional play, which is actually for these teams 3 wins away from getting to the state tournament.
Throw yourself in that hat, too.
And I'm going to throw my team in that hat as well, the Beachwood Tigers in Region 9. When we continue, I'm Richard Skinner. He's Tony Pike. This is our high school basketball podcast from ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Getting answers, finding solutions. Local 12 News investigates.
As soon as we called you, everything happened very quickly.
Not afraid to ask the tough questions. Taking action, getting the truth. Local 12 News investigates.
Are you looking to produce your own podcast? ESP Media has state-of-the-art audio and video production studios available for you. Our studio rental rates are the most competitive in town. Contact us today at sales@espmediasn.com or 513-655-4966. That's 513-655-4966. It's your podcast. We just produce it.
Welcome back into our high school basketball tournament podcast. I'm Richard Skinner from Local 12, local12.com. He is Tony Pike, who's more known as being a quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
It's a quarterback on the court, too.
Bet you were. How are you a quarterback as a shooting guard? Did the offense run through you? They ran a lot of high elbow stuff for you, didn't they?
Well, flex screen, curl cut, fade cut, slip screen.
I bet you were the best flare cutter in the world, weren't you?
Oh,
ran flares for you for your jump shooting ability?
I was straight flare.
How many threes you make as a junior on the state championship?
I don't know stats like that. I made enough.
Were you more mid-range guy?
No. I was pulling up from beyond the arc.
Not much off the bounce. If I had a scouting reporter, it would say making put it on the deck and go left?
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those rare guys. My junior year, I was a shooting guard at 6'6". My senior year at Reading, I was a center.
Did you rebound?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was like a Tim Duncan my senior year, like 12 and 10.
Very versatile.
I was a 12 and 10 guy.
3.5 assists, a couple blocks a game, just to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, we ran what was innovative at the
time.
Were
you the back of the press? Did you guys press much?
We were a five-out, no-in offense.
Yeah, because you were skilled.
Very innovative. It's a tough guard.
When big guys try to match up against you, you just put
just
it down
right
and go.
Around them.
Yeah, I like that. I like that style of play. All right, we touched on Ohio in the last segment. Let's look at Kentucky, where they are in regional tournament play. They've already played their district tournaments. There are 16 regions in the state of Kentucky. 8 teams make it. As goofy as it sounds, and people roll their eyes at this, the district winner and the district runner-up both advance to the regional tournament play, district winners play district runner-ups in the first round.
I'm just going to take your word
for it. There are three regions of note in our listening area, if you will. We'll start in the 8th region, which will be played at Henry County. And by the time you listen to this, some first-round games will already be played. Upper bracket has Collins taking on Oldham County, Gallatin County, Simon Kenton. By far, all 4 of those teams have a legitimate chance to win that regional tournament, so it is a very difficult side of the bracket. On Tuesday, February 26th, the bottom side has probable favorite Walton Verona. Deontay Miles is going to Xavier, plays for them. They have very good guard play as well. They'll take on Henry County. The other game, South Oldham, Spencer County. Walton, the prohibitive favorite to come out of that. And honestly, I could give you a case for any of the 4 teams coming out of that top bracket. Collins is probably the favorite to advance, but it wouldn't shock me to see small Gallatin County, which has a win over Simon Kenton this year. I could also see Simon Kenton good enough to flip the script and beat Gallatin County. Oldham County has played a really good schedule. I could see them maybe advancing. They've won. In fact, they were a state semifinalist last year, lost to Covenant Catholic in the state semifinals, and they got a couple of guys back from that team. So the top bracket of Region 8 is very, very difficult.
And no offense to the way Ohio does it or the way Kentucky does it, but isn't it more exciting to go into a bracket like that of saying, look, any of these teams can come out and win it? Whereas what we see in Ohio, it's
until
pretty much—
Until you get to district tournament play, it's usually—
It's pretty much, we know who's going to be where and barring a huge upset.
And that's why it's funny. We talked about that last week. It's why these guys are strategic on where they put themselves. Sometimes you put yourself and you go, well, yeah, you got a harder, maybe even sectional semifinal game. And you're thinking, well, yeah, but I think we're good enough to win that because I'm looking further down the road to where I can avoid this team. As opposed to these, where it is once you get out of the district, it is a blind draw. You cannot draw your district runner-up team that you beat. You can only match them again in the finals, which hopefully that's us for the Beachwood Tigers, right, Coach? In Region 9, by the time you listen to this, hopefully we will have already beaten Dixie Heights, my alma mater. I got to go up against my alma mater. Oh, that's tough, Tony.
That's got to be tough for you.
Beachwood, the first time—
I hope you're not on the take—
in 10 years that they have been to the regional tournament. They just won. We just won our first
big win
district championship in 70 years, beating Covington Catholic last Thursday night. Second time this year we've beaten Covington Catholic, mind you.
Wow.
But the upper bracket has Beachwood at 27-5, Dixie Heights 11-19. Beachwood did beat them by 20 earlier in the year, but it'll be a much closer contest. I would promise you this. As you listen to this, I'm not sandbagging. It will be a very good game.
Did you get some net? Did you cut down a little net?
I didn't. I'm not a net cutting down kind of guy. I got in the team photo.
I figured you'd be up there on the ladder.
Yeah, no, I let the kids all do that, and then some other people. I'm just never been a net cutting down kind of guy. The other matchup, a good one as well. Cooper and Highlands. Cooper, certainly a team that they beat Highlands by a point earlier this season. Highlands and Cooper both have wins over Beachwood. Cooper handled Beachwood. Handled us pretty good by 20 early in the year. Played much better than we did. We lost the regular season finale to Highlands. Honestly, and I say this, between Cooper, Highlands, and Beachwood, any of the three can come out of this. If you were to pin me to it, Cooper's still the team to beat to get out of there, but they didn't play great down the stretch. But they've got a bunch of guys that have been through the tournament. But again, just like that eighth region, I look at that. I can make an argument for any of those teams, and maybe even win the whole thing. I mean, right. Beachwood, we've beaten Covenant Catholic twice. Highlands has beaten Beachwood. Cooper has held on to beat Highlands by a point. So, I mean, right. you can put a blanket in over any of those teams.
I mean, and again, that goes back to the competition. And, you know, as much as I don't like to give you, you know, any confidence.
No, that's all right.
When you're a team and you get over that hump and you beat Covcath again and you move on in the tournament, there gains a sense of confidence and a sense of momentum that is very scary at this time of the year because it's no longer.
And especially though when you're also kind of still a Cinderella story
right.
because you haven't done this
right.
much. And you're kind of playing with house money.
Nothing to lose.
Knowing you have a good team with house
money. And knowing now that, you know, this is one and done. And some of those teams that are favored to win or should win, you get a little tight in situations and you play maybe a bad quarter or shots aren't falling. And then you start to press even more.
And this game's being played at BB&T Arena, which is where NKU plays. You get on a college court. You know, you have maybe a style of play where you can spread some people out a little bit. And got a lot more room to operate. They got to guard you in more space. We saw it a couple years ago. Cooper had a point guard, Adam Kunkel. They just spread Covenant Catholic out in a championship game, and they couldn't keep Adam Kunkel for going where Adam Kunkel wanted to go. And so he became a matchup nightmare for them. The bottom part of the bracket has Newport. Very, very good team there. Certainly a team on a big floor. They have a point guard, Donnie Miller, who is arguably the quickest guy in the region. He's going to be hard to keep people in front, but a Connor team they'll play in the first round on Tuesday that has played well down the stretch. So a pretty good matchup there. And the bottom part has Covenant Catholic taking on 34th district champion St. Henry. St. Henry, I believe, played them within a 14-point game. We're missing a starter during the regular season. Covcath, probably the favorite to come out of that bracket, but Newport is really scary because they don't have a lot of depth. But they've got four legit dudes who can really, really play. A couple played AAU for me. They got a kid, Taj Harding, who had transferred to Princeton early in the year, transferred back before basketball season started. He's about a 6'4 athletic post guy who can also take you off the bounce. Like I said, you get on that big floor, and suddenly you look around at your matchups and you go,
right.
Oh, wait a minute. Somebody's got to guard him in space.
Right.
It can be very, very tough.
Get a guy in space, and then you have to draw two defenders. And if you can
There's a couple kick-out guys
that can make shots.
McGuire, Deshaun White can shoot it.
Right.
I mean, they're really a tough
matchup.
And then
it becomes into, okay, do we help if you get beat off the dribble?
Yeah, or eventually
do you not help? Yeah.
Eventually you got to stay with yours, and he keeps going around you. That's going to be very, very tough. That's why they're a very, very tough one. I think people who have followed basketball in Northern Kentucky this year would tell you that any of six teams have a legitimate chance to win this.
Which is good.
Beachwood, Cooper, Highlands, Newport. Five teams, Newport and Covenant Catholic.
Yeah.
St. Henry, Connor, Dixie Heights would probably be three teams. If one of them were to win this, it would be a surprise. But, I mean, to have five teams with a legitimate chance, you know what you're going to get on Thursday or on Friday night for sure, which is when the semifinals are. You're going to get two really good semifinal matchups, and then you're going to get a great championship game on Saturday night at BB&T Arena.
Yeah, that's,
and hopefully the Beachwood Tigers are up on that, Tony.
Hopefully Beachwood moves on.
All right.
Well, the Wood.
Hopefully when we come back and do this podcast next week, I'll be a very happy man thinking of Rupp Arena.
Mm.
We'll see. All right, lastly, in the 10th region, which is a little bit down this year, but Campbell County is still a very good team. They are probably the prohibitive favorite to come out of the top bracket. These games being played at the Great Mason County Fieldhouse. Seats 5,400, one of my favorite venues to watch high school basketball. Covered many a game there in my day, either at the Post, the Inquirer, or back at the Maysville Ledger Independent, where I began my journalism career.
The Maysville Ledger.
How about that? Campbell County will take on Robertson County in a first-round game. It'll already be played by the time you probably hear this. Mason County, Bourbon County, the other part of that. Campbell, by far, the favorite to come out of that top bracket. The bottom bracket has Harrison County, which is a district champion, playing Scott, which was the district runner-up to Campbell County. Scott should probably win that game. And then George Rogers Clark against Bracken County, GRC, by far the favorite to come out of that game. The top semifinal, I think Campbell County rolls. Bourbon County could give them a bit of a game, I suppose. But it would be an upset if Campbell isn't the team to come out of that top bracket. In the bottom bracket, the semifinal between GRC and Scott, if they played seven times, it would be a great seven-game series.
Well,
one-game series, I can't tell you. GRC is the favorite probably slightly, but Scott's been a really good tournament team under Steve Frohmeyer. Won this region a couple of years ago when Jake Omer had a great run. He's now playing at Western Kentucky. They're just tough, and they're tough-minded. But that GRC-Scott semifinal game should be a very good one. And again, whoever gets out of that bottom bracket to face Campbell County, I could give you a seven-game series between Scott and Campbell or GRC and Campbell, and it would be a great seven-game series.
Maybe we should go to that. I mean,
it,
as crazy as what Kentucky's tournament is, let's just go to seven-game series.
We can do it. We can do it.
State championship, best of seven.
All right. Quickly, in Indiana, they are just now starting sectional tournament play as well. That's their first first round of tournament play. East Central is playing in the Columbus North when they are 17-6. They had a very good season, and they are in 4A. In 3A, Lawrenceburg and Rushville play a semifinal game. They'll play the winner of Batesville, Franklin County. The other part of that bracket has Madison and Greensburg. Greensburg, the prohibitive favorite at 22-1. The winner of that will play South Dearborn. The Rushville-Lawrenceburg winner will play the Batesville-Franklin County winner. Three of those four teams finished the regular season with losing records. Batesville finished with a winning record at 12-10. But again, Greensburg at 22-1, by far the favorite to come out of that one. And then also in 2A, in the South Ripley sectional tournament, it'll be Milan taking on South Decatur, the winner to play North Decatur. How about Milan? The story of Hoosiers. Can they pull it off again at 12-11? Got to run that picket fence. The bottom bracket, though, has Southwestern clear the prohibitive favorite to come out of this sectional. 22-1. They'll play 7-16 Switzerland County, the winner to meet South Ripley. There you go.
I kind of see you as like a shooter.
Yeah. That's about the only skill I think I have.
Bring your flask. No, I mean shooter from Hoosiers.
No, there's no question. Yeah, that is me for sure. That is me. That's why they had me on the staff. They had to clean me up.
Yep.
I had to stay clean and sober.
Hey, I'm with you.
It's tough to do for every game, but I find a way to do it, Tone. All right, enjoyed it, man. Appreciate it very much. We will be back next Monday, and we will be further along in all of these between Indiana, Kentucky,
and Ohio. To get more of a view on what's
especially
shaping
Ohio,
up.
Especially Ohio, because then you're when you get through the sectional,
start sorting out,
and you've got those four games. I love that Saturday in Dayton. We always go up. We have a great broadcast venue that we broadcast from. I just like that day of basketball because you know you got four really good games on tap. Sometimes, it's a molar, but it can be a mismatch maybe, at least on paper. But usually that team has won 16, 17, 18 games.
Right.
And again, you get on that big college floor, you can spread people out up at UD Arena.
At least there's a chance,
At least there's a chance. So we will have certainly a better handle on that. Hey, a reminder, ESP Media will also be broadcasting Molar Crusaders basketball. We'll have the Molar-Talawanda game on Tuesday night, the 26th, and then that sectional championship game as well on Friday night. And of course, as long as Molar advances, so will we. Our thanks to producer, engineer Rob Ebel. For Tony Pike, I'm Richard Skinner. Thanks for being with us. This has been the High School Basketball Tournament Podcast from your friends at ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.